living our faith through our heart and in our lives. I think so much about moments in my life where I really needed to feel the love of Christ. And what comes to me right now is the chapter that I know that you're all working on and talking about each of us. We all have a story. We all have a story. Ours are different from each other, but they're all beautiful because we are all daughters of God. And Mary is our beautiful mother. And she places that mantle of protection around us. And it's such a gift. And so when I was thinking of that, I thought our faith and hope of God in the nations, chapter 2 in the book, is our blessing. And so I'm humbled to share just a few things about my journey and what life was like for me and what it was like for me to meet with Jesus. It's hard for me to stand still, so if you see me want to like walk back and forth, you're going to know, okay, the microphone's attached to the stand. I can't really go anywhere. When I really think about it, I think three things. Patience within others, when we show that patience is love. Patience within ourself is hope. And patience with God is faith. And having that faith is a beautiful, beautiful gift. As a child, being raised Jehovah's Witness, it was a difficult thing in its own to go to school and have to leave the classroom when there was birthdays, Christmas, Valentine's, Thanksgiving, anything that was going on, I had to leave the classroom. I couldn't stay in there. So it was a feeling of isolation. And sometimes kids, not meaning to, could poke a little fun at you. You're different. Well, yes. I was, not because I could help it, but because that was my mom's choice. When she and my dad divorced, the witnesses knocked on our door, and she took the Watchtower and Awake and started that process of becoming Jehovah's Witness. With that, when she remarried a man who really didn't want to have to deal with someone else's children. So imagine for a moment, you go to school, you come home, and you think coming home is your safe haven, only to realize that as a little girl growing up from the time I was 7 till I was about 16, our beds would be put on fire. We were locked in our rooms without food and air conditioning as punishment. We weren't allowed to speak to people to let anyone know what was happening. We would go to the Kingdom Hall, and I would look for anybody there to help me. And it was unfortunate that they didn't do that. They excused his behavior. They felt bad for my mom, and everything stayed kind of under the carpet, if you will. So I never really felt love, except for when I would come here to California, because part of my life I grew up in Arizona, when she remarried, that's where we went. When we would come here and I would go visit my grandfather. Oh, how many people remember your grandfathers? Okay, I'm sorry, but yes. My grandfather lived to be 102. Oh, my goodness. And he first moved to Yorba Linda before it became a city. So they wrote about him in the paper. And his nickname was Harry the Hugger. Oh my gosh, I tell you, I have newspaper articles that one of the girls I used to work with laminated for me. Have you hugged Harry today? When he passed away, they wrote about him in the paper. One year at Halloween, I had a woman my age come to the front door and say, "Are you related to the man who used to live here?" I said, "Yes, I am. Why do you ask?" Well, every day when we got off the bus, he was waiting for us. And he would tell us, "We can't always get together with family there in Arizona now, but you guys could be my little surrogate grandkids, so here's candy for you." But at Halloween, when they came, no, that wasn't the case. He wasn't going to contribute to candy all year long. Then he gave them nickels. But it's so awesome to know that like he left that kind of a legacy and that I still get to share in that. And I just think about all those blessings. So fast forward, I am now an adult and I'm really trying to find where am I supposed to be celebrating my faith? Where is God calling me? Wow, the places I went. Christian Science Church, I've tried that out. Not the case. They offered for me to take some personal test. I don't think so. No, that's okay. Just go over in that room and it'll just be a few minutes and you could write stuff. No, that's okay. I think I'm in the wrong building. Calvary Chapel, I went to all kinds of places. And here, the craziest thing of all is I'm working at a credit union and one of the guys I'm working with every day is talking to me. Don, what about such and such? He's Catholic. He plays guitar here at 5:30 Mass on Sunday, Steve Morikawa. Don, what about you could say prayers to Mary? I'm like, I don't know. Growing up, I just heard that that wasn't okay. No, you can do that. You can do that. Let me help you. So at work one day, what happens? He takes my hand and prays with me. During work time, I started bawling. He says, you know what? I have a friend of mine I want to introduce you to. His name is Father Stan. I went and sat with Father Stan Bosch for 2.5 hours. While he listened to anything and everything, God bless him, I talk a lot, you'll find that out. And he listened to my whole story. And then shared with me what he knew I needed to do, and that was, you got to become Catholic. So I started praying for, please God, give me a sign. Let me tell you how those signs came. I used to work in banking many, many years. I was in Anaheim Hills inside the Union Bank when it was like there in Ralph's supermarket. So a customer comes in the bank one day with the biggest crucifix, like this. Big, 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 big. I'm all, oh my gosh, you must be Catholic. She's like, how do you know? I'm like, hello. And she told me, San Antonio is right up the street from here. Go there. They're having First Friday adoration. It's prayer time. I was like, wow, how cool is that? So July 4th, 1997, July 4th, right? Here we go, July 4th, holiday. Friends are having a big, huge barbecue in their neighborhood for the 4th of July. What do? You guys, I'm going to adoration now. They're like, okay, have fun. Well, we're going to go, but we're not going today. And I said, oh, but I'm going today. So I leave to go to adoration. One by one, there's 5 people in the chapel when I get there. One by one, they all got up to leave. And I sat there, and I heard Jesus saying to me, Dawn, I love you. I died just for you. Now, I know he died for everybody, but that's what I needed to hear. Because as a little girl, I didn't feel loved. And as an adult, I didn't feel the love. But that day sitting there in the chapel, thanks to my good friend, Judy Mualim, sitting up here in the front row, which I know she doesn't want me to do that to her, but since 1994, I mean, how beautiful is that? To know that when you're in a workplace, this is my second time now, right? Remembering that God uses us no matter where we are. And that beautiful faith of all the things happening. So I naturally become Catholic. I was, as Norma mentioned, April 11th, 1998. So beautiful. God knew exactly where I needed to be. My grandfather passed March 28th, 1998. My dad got married April 28th, 1998. It was the first thing he ever came to in my entire life. 3 days after he got married, He tripped and fell somehow on the honeymoon and became brain damaged. What a miracle and what a heartache. The heartache of that happening, but the miracle of me being able to step away from my job and care for him and keep an eye on everything to make sure he would be okay, because they weren't quite sure how it happened on his honeymoon. And those are the things that I would say. Thank you, Jesus, you knew where I needed to be. Thank you, Mama Mary, for placing your mantle of protection around me. You knew I needed community. You knew I needed people who love me. You know that I needed faith in something greater than myself and hope of what was yet to come. And those are the moments I look back on and I think, oh my goodness, how amazing. I had an opportunity to go to Medjugorje. I have a good friend of mine who ended up becoming a priest, Father Dave. He was at San Antonio many years, then he was at St. Angelo Merici. He's now out in Huntington Beach. But I remember him telling me, your dad is in a coma. Go to Medjugorje and offer prayers for him. Now, he wasn't a priest at the time, so that when I share this, I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? I don't want to be rude, but hi, I left my job. I'm working part-time at San Antonio Youth Ministry, and I have two friends who have become my roommates just so I could survive. How am I going to go to Medjugorje? I have a customer who owes me back pay for the 4 months of work that I've done for him doing coaching for his employees. Donnie says, have faith. I'm paying for half of your ticket. God is going to bless you with the rest of it. Sure enough, that money came in from the customer that owed me. I have another dear friend of mine that goes to San Antonio. She drove me to the airport. As I went to get out of the car, she handed me an envelope. And in that envelope was $500. Five signifies abundance. Who would have thought? I was just getting out of the car, trusting in the... See, I use my hands a lot too, sorry. This poor microphone. Tracy Roach is going to be like, don't ever let her talk here again. But who would have thought getting out of her car and knowing that I was going to be in Medjugorje for 2 weeks, I didn't care. I'm like, geez, God brought me this far. I'm sure it'll be fine. Boom, there was the money. Again, the God who saves knew the love and support that I needed. And I learned very quickly to say, oh my Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Because I'm a doer. I have a little high energy, in case you couldn't tell. I mean, I did run that first marathon without training for it. And I just feel like I'm going to make it happen. And there were those instances where, well, Dawn, what you're going to make happen is you're going to sit and pray with your dad until he gets past the point of severity with the brain damage. And let's see what that looks like. And it was just surrendering those things. So I'm trusting in everything. There's big stuff going on. I'm realizing God knew I needed to become Catholic right in those moments. You know? And how I was so blessed with all that is beyond belief. I was sitting at the bank one day, and I knew that we were closing down the office I was in. And I could hear that whisper, go home and just have some lunch. Just step away from what's going on here. Take a lunch. I never did that. I was a customer service manager. My employees and my customers were everything. I got home, and as I was walking through the hallway of my apartment, I just thought, wow, how is all this going to work out? I went back real quick to the bank because I had forgotten a couple papers that I knew I could work on justifying not being there. And one of my employees said, just take some time, take a breath. So I started to walk out the door, and there was a dime on the floor. And you know, when you work with money, you watch every single penny. It's not quite like that anymore, but it was back in the day. So what do? I go and pick up that dime and bring it to her, and she tells me, keep that. You get miracles with dimes. watch and see what happens. God uses that as a sign. And then I thought, oh, Moses in the burning bush. It's a sign of what is already out there, but maybe different people need different ways of realizing it. And for me, since I work with money, it was like, why would she be telling me that right now? So I went home and I sat down at my dining room table and I could feel the grace of the Holy Spirit come over me. And the heat was so warm, and I put my pencil to a piece of paper and I wrote out a poem. And we'll pass it out later to all of you, called The Miracle of a Dime. And I brought it back to the bank and I said, here you go, thank you for sharing that. And initially I had written her name in it. And she said, no, don't keep my name in there. Put a friend then said, because someday that poem is going to be shared with others. It went on to become a poem in a booklet of poems I wrote called Hope of the Heart, Healing for the Journey. And I wrote it for cancer survivors at the request of a hospital and the critical care nurses and the doctor there. Sometimes when people are in different places in their life, they need a visual as well as what they feel in the spirit. And I just think about that, and I can remember sitting there at adoration and being able to focus on Jesus and just crying and thinking, oh my gosh, once again, God is continuing to remind me how much he loves me. So I think back to the book and I'm thinking, gosh, you know what? There's all those examples. It's faith over fear. And I would always tell the kids at youth ministry in different groups, fear is false evidence appearing real. So let me remember, Lord, that my faith is so much stronger than my fear. Has there been loss? Has there been heartache? Has there been difficulties? Yes. But you know what I realized? Those were all things that happened in my life because God already knew I could share and help others see above what that was like and where those moments were at. My brother is a year younger than me. I was the protector. I have, over the years, done the little things for him to remind him. And I'll share with you, he has retired now. He goes to Lifetime Gym. They live in Arizona. And he loves working out. And he got more people to come into the Aurora Club. It's a class for the seniors to go to. And so I have surprised him over the years for his birthday. Sometimes I hide in his house. He comes home from work. I'm there. I mean, I've done some crazy stuff. It's not beyond me. My niece picks me up at the airport. I stay at her house. We hide out. You know, we do the fun Auntie Dawn stuff. And so this year I went for his birthday. And he was in the yoga session with everyone, and I was hiding in the gym. And my niece and I kept watching. We were on the Stairmasters, and we were like, man, what's taking him so long? She got the time wrong. She says, oh my gosh, Aunt Dawn, I'm so sorry. I thought class started at 11. I'm all, we've been here since 9. Come on, girl. Are you kidding me? How many steps do you think? I don't need like 10 miles on this thing. So we go downstairs, and she said, oh, class is going to be ending. I'm like, perfect, okay. So I have a good friend of mine, Sheila McHenry, who made me a t-shirt because my sister-in-law told me at the Arizona Lifetime, they call him Rah Rah Russ. So not only did Sheila teach me how to sing the Chaplet of Divine Mercy when I first became Catholic, not only did we watch all the movies of Saint Bernadette, but she also is like this guru at making things. So I'm just saying, when you get your poems in a little bit, you'll see what I'm talking about. So here we are, they're all coming out of the yoga class. And you know what that's like, right? They're in the Zen zone. You already know where I'm going, huh, Trudy? That's quiet. He's coming out. He's opening the doors. The minute I see him, I'm like, Ross, it's your birthday. And these women and men are like, whoa, yeah, rah, rah, Russ, it's your birthday. And we all started singing happy birthday to him. That comes from never having birthdays as a kid, right? So you just kind of do it up a little bit bigger. Anyhow, sorry, I have to just share those moments with you because they're such special moments for me, and I know that we all have them. And I just think it's important to remember how much God loves us. So what I want to do with you right now is I'm going to take you just for like a little walk along the shore. And I would ask you to just put anything that's on your lap down on the floor. And just relax, sit in your seat and allow yourself to be as heavy and relaxed and comfortable as you feel. And I'm just going to take you on a little guided meditation. It's something that I've done with people over the years. And just allow yourself just to be, close your eyes, and just give yourself just that chance to take a big breath. I'm going to take a big breath in. And slowly, slowly release that breath. I invite you to take another big breath in, breathing in deeply. Slowly, slowly release that breath. Take another deep, deep breath in, breathing in. And as you do, allow yourself to sit deeper and deeper into your chair. Taking another deep breath in, holding that breath. Slowly, slowly releasing your breath. Put your hands heavy on your lap. Allow your shoulders just to sink deeper into the chair. Just take another deep, deep breath in. Oh my Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Take another deep breath in, breathing in. And slowly, slowly releasing your breath. Allow yourself to sink a little deeper into your chair. As you look out, as far as you can see, the water and the sand. As you look out at the water, you can't help but notice the waves. And you hear them as they're coming in and going back out again. The waves come to meet you where you are as you walk along the shore with Jesus. He brings you in his love. And the waves go back out again and they remove the things that he knows have become heavy on your hearts. Off in the distance, you see family working on building a sandcastle. You can hear their laughter and their joy. And you notice that the waves sound like they're so much closer as you get closer to that sandcastle. God is continuing to remind you that he's here. Take another deep, deep breath in, breathing in. Slowly, slowly releasing that breath. What is it that God is asking you to allow him to fill your heart with? What are the things that he's asking you to leave here on the shore? He is reminding you, you are my precious daughter. Look off again out into the distance. You can see fish jumping up through the water, coming back down in again. And you're reminded of those moments in life where God lifts your spirit up and out and brings you back down to the gentle participation again. He reminds you, I am here with you always. I care for you. You are my precious daughter. You take another deep, deep breath in, breathing in. Thinking of those that you love. Offering prayers that they're constantly aware of how much you love them. Your heart is full and you're thankful for this time. And Jesus reminds you, I gave my life for you. You are my precious and beautiful daughter. And take another deep, deep breath in, breathing in. What is the words that you hear in your heart? What are those words that you hear him speaking to you right now? The water comes in, and the water goes out. Look off in the distance and you can see the sky changing slightly. And you're reminded that you have things that you are so thankful for. You take one last look out at the ocean. The sandcastle is finished now. The family is also taking a walk along the beach. You turn to return back. Take another deep, deep breath in, breathing in. Holding that breath. Slowly, slowly releasing that breath. And when you're ready, I invite you to open your eyes. So that time is just such a beautiful gift that God gives you. I do that for myself every morning. I've done it since I started RCIA, since I became Catholic. I, as you can tell, read my Bible every morning. It's pretty beat up, but that's okay. I'm in the front of it. This is To Dawn from Mary, Mama Mary. Because when my mom passed, when I became Catholic, she stopped speaking to me. When she passed, I went and spent the day with her. And I sang to her. And I had my hand on her heart. And I sang to her over and over again, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And as she passed, and I was singing that, she looked at me and had a smile on her face, and she went. So Mama Mary was my mom over the years and still is, and I'm so thankful for that. And then, of course, you know, I have to have a good picture of Jesus there too, right? I'm just saying. In the morning, I call it Jesus and Java. It's coffee and time to talk to the Lord. And different little things that people give me and share with me, I tuck in my Bible. And so I have been praying for all of you because this is something that Mary had given me a while back. And I would write little messages, and I would think about little scriptures, and just be praying for everyone that would be here today. So at this point in time, what I would love to do is we'll pass out the poems to everybody, and then I'm going to read it with you so it gives you just that reminder of, wow, what was that like? This is my friend Sheila. She goes to St. Joseph's. She chose the picture to put the poem on. Usually it's in the booklet of poems, but I did something just special for all of you. And this was her trip to New England, where her son is in the service. Yes, she's an amazing, amazing mom and just a beautiful, dear friend, and I'm so thankful for that friendship. Don't be so humble and shy. How many of you have belonged to Wings for over 5 years? 15? 20. Woohoo! 30. Oh my goodness. 35? Since 88. Wow, that's beautiful. I love it. Oh my goodness. Right here, ladies. Come on. That's right. I joined. It speaks volumes to me because I think it's important that you have a community that you can surround yourself with and that you know God is always watching over you. And so that has been my, since I knew, I was like, okay, faith over fear, and let me always be thankful to Jesus, and how great is that, that I have the blessings that I do in my life. Okay. And thank you, Norma, and thank you, Sheila. God bless you, girls. You gotta say girls to keep it young, right? Woo! Not that I'm ever gonna run another marathon. I did run my second one. I went back the second year and I actually trained for it. The first time I ran, I had never gone over 7 miles. What was I thinking? I don't know. It took me 7.5 hours. There weren't even porta potties out there anymore. They were pulling off the water and all the porta potties, and I was like, what? So yeah. That was it, twice. I was done. No more. My kids were freaking out. Mom, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm just following my heart. It's where God is leading me. Well, we liked that when you became Catholic, but please don't do that when it comes to something like a marathon. Okay. So I've shared with you the story and how it came about. Oh, here's Sheila. She'll have a few more. And there's extra for sure. Aw, and I'll have more for you guys too. Okay. All right, the miracle of the dime. Remember now, this took me 30 seconds. There's no way it's possible to have written this in that amount of time. That was just by the grace of the Holy Spirit. I walked along the road today and found a shiny dime. I didn't take notice at first, just walking, passing time. A friend then said, "Say, did you know? Good things will come your way." I stopped and paused and realized that God had touched my day. In such a subtle way it was, a miracle of sort. Good things will come my way, I heard, and that was my report. I smiled inside, held my head high. My walk was now a skip. I realized that I wasn't alone. The Lord was on my trip. He was speaking to me through the voice of a friend. He used a little dime to say, "Be open to my love, for I'm with you all the time." And so I have a dime or two that show up here and there. It's just a little visual, as the Lord says, "My child, I care. I care about the day you're having and all that you will do. Remember, you are not alone. For I am there with you." So let me say that miracles come in every shape and size. Just always open up your heart and see life with God's eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sabotaging her time.
This miracle of a dime is so true, and I find them everywhere. And what she didn't say is that you can collect them and save them and you'll be amazed at all the little miracles that happen. I find them in my bed, I find them walking down the street, I find them on my kitchen. Like, where they shouldn't be. Like, you can make they fill out of your pocket, but you're gonna be amazed at the different places that you're gonna find these dimes and where God is touching you and where it's just a God shot that He's saying, "Hey, I'm here and I love you."
Aww. Don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. Thank you for sharing that. I think one of the ones that touched my heart so much was Bill Ciccolo, a young man that was part of youth ministry, because that's where I was. And seventh through, you know, seniors in high school, this was the messages. So Bill was discerning becoming a Navy SEAL. And he didn't know if he was going to qualify or not. And he would say, Miss Dawn, can you please pray with me? So son of a gun, years later, he posts on Facebook, American flag with 33 dimes. These dimes have showed up all over in my life, and I'll never forget what it was like to be reminded at the difficult times that God was there with me. So yes, to what Sheila shared. So thank you, and you didn't sabotage my time. It's not my time, it's God's time. So thank you all. Thank you so much. Thank you. Sorry for the...